circumstances, that He would part these difficult situations and we can walk through them with no problem, but sometimes it just doesn't work that way. God shows us His true grace, His mercy, the vastness of His love when He has to guide us through these difficult days. And today we come to celebrate children and family, and we're here to celebrate this parent-child dedication. And one of the things I want to remind you parents that you don't have all the answers, and that's okay. We don't have all the answers, and that's okay. But we serve a God who does, and a God who is able. And He has given us an instruction booklet. Most times we hear people say, well, if we just had an instruction booklet on how we're supposed to raise kids and what we're supposed to do. Well, I've got good news for you. It's right here. God has given us everything that we need to raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, to raise our children in a godly home. But what we've got to do is be dedicated to His Word and to His glory. Today is not about your child being saved today. Today is not about you making decisions for your child. That's why we don't call it baby dedication. Because it's more about parents and families and the church family committing to pour and invest into this child, to pour into this child, to be an example, to live out God's word before them, to live faithfully in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to surrender ourselves to His glory and to live out that faith before them in such a way that they will see the reality that God is real, that God loves them, and Jesus died for them and they need a Savior. And in that surrender, there is life to the full. Jesus said in John 10:10 said, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. Not to take life away, but to give you life you could never achieve on your own. And the wonderful thing about it is we can't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't improve on it. All we can do is surrender ourselves to Him and then let Him live through us. Not asking Him to be a part of our life, but to die to ourselves and to let Him live through us, to hide ourselves in Him. So today I want to talk for just a few minutes about what this day is about and what we're here to do. First of all, we're here as an opportunity to celebrate the gift of children. Parents, it is a wonderful thing that God has blessed you with, this child, this family that He has created. And He has given you everything that you need to raise that child up in a way that sets and stacks the cards in His favor. You know, we're not perfect as parents. We make mistakes. God's grace is bigger than our mistakes. But if we will live out our faith before them, we stack the deck in their favor instead of stacking the deck against them coming to know Jesus. It's an opportunity to celebrate. Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4 tells us this about children. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies at the gate. It says that they're a gift. It says they're the fruit of the womb as a reward. And they're like arrows in the hand of a warrior. I'm just going to tell you, parents, one of the things that many of us make mistakes in is we try and raise our kids to keep them kids. They're a gift, absolutely. They are a reward, absolutely. But they're like the arrows in the hand of a warrior. When is an arrow effective? When it's stuck in the quiver and kept with the warrior all the time? No. An arrow is effective when it's released to accomplish the task that it was developed for. So parents, your job, as you celebrate this gift, as you celebrate this reward, understand that the gift is not something to be kept permanently close to you. You're to raise that child, to develop that child, so that child can be released into the world to accomplish what God has developed that child for, what He's gifted that child for. Celebrate them, enjoy them, love them, nurture them, grow them. But always keep in the forefront of your mind that they are to be released at some point. They are to be let go at some point. to be the man, the woman that God has created them to be, to make a difference in this world for His kingdom. We need to raise them to be released. Enjoy them. I know when you're a new parent, I remember when we had our first baby girl, there's nothing that changed my life outside of my relationship with Jesus Christ like it was the day I first held my first child. Everything changed. My perspective on everything was eternally transformed. When I held that baby girl, and I looked at that baby girl, and I was thinking, wow, this is exciting. There was joy. There was anticipation of what this child would become. But then there's also this very sinking feeling of, oh, what a responsibility. I'm not just responsible for me and my wife, this other adult that lives with me. I'm responsible for this baby that has no hope of survival, has no hope of understanding things correctly unless I raise them, unless I protect them, unless I take care of them. I begin to think about the challenges. Then I started thinking about the cost. Oh my gosh, we bought that first set of diapers. Man, it was wonderful when we had our baby shower. Man, we got all these diapers and we had a month long or 2 month supply of diapers and it was awesome. But when they ran out, we had to go buy them. We had to buy formula. We had to start thinking about clothes. They start outgrowing. Man, they outgrow those things every week, seems like. And then you start thinking about college and you think, oh my gosh. How much college cost? The average cost of a college education now is upwards of $100,000+. Man, I've got to plan for that. I've got to prepare for that. I've got to get them ready for that. So there's a huge basket full of mixed emotions. So many thoughts and feelings surface as we stand at the trailhead of the path, the beginning of this path called parenthood. Yet for all the adventures ahead, there's also an overwhelming sense of gratitude for the gift you hold in your arms. All of that fades away when that baby smiles, when that baby cries, when that baby coos at you, just melts your heart, and you get excited all over again. All of that doesn't matter. But the one thing that is always constant, you want to do this right. You want to be a good parent. You want to raise this child up to be a benefit to society, to flourish in this life, to be productive, to have a full and meaningful life. That's our goal. That's our passion. No matter what else happens in the world, that's what we want. Well, how do you do that? You do that through the fear and the admonition of the Lord, living out your faith, living according to God's Word. And raising that child to see the difference that God makes in your life and in your family. Each child, not only are they a gift, not only are they a reward and like arrows to be released, but they come with a huge value attached to them. There's nothing more important to you most of the time than your children. But parents, I want to encourage you. I want to tell you the greatest gift you can give your child is to let them know that the world doesn't revolve around them. The greatest disservice you can do is to raise that child to understand that they are more important than your spouse. They're more important than God. When we take the gift and elevate it above the giver, we're doing a huge disservice. We need to let our children know that the world doesn't revolve around it. It begins by making sure they understand who comes first in your life. It must be God. You need to live that out and you need to share that with them, that God is the most important person in your life, and second comes your spouse. Moms and dads, you need to make sure you let your children know that your wife and your husband was here before they were, and they're going to be here when you're gone. They're more important. Guard your time with your spouse. The greatest gift, dads, you can give your children, your sons, is to let them see how a man loves his wife like Christ loved the church. and gave himself up for him. You want to do a great service to your son and teach him how to be a man, you be a man in your house and you love your wife sacrificially. You keep her in the forefront. Now, I made a lot of mistakes as a parent. I wasn't perfect. But my kids have asked many times, just like your kids will, especially when you get a couple of them, "Dad, who's your favorite?" My kids were always trying to get me into that trap. But it wasn't long when they figured out, well, we know what the answer is going to be. "Dad, who's your favorite?" "Your mama." "Your mother." Because I told them up front, "She was here before you got here. She'll be here when you're gone. She is always my favorite. And then I love you all equally." Let them know that the world doesn't revolve around them. It begins with God. It continues with your spouse. And then it goes to them. And you're raising them to leave, to be productive, to be God-fearing, to raise another family of their own, to honor and fear the Lord. They are a great joy, a great gift. They have great value, but we must make sure we keep it in perspective. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 says this, "For you were formed in my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Genesis 1:27 says this of humanity, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." This world is always going to tell you, it's always going to tell your kids they don't measure up. And parents, your job is to help them see the value they have because they are created in the image of God. There is no such thing as someone who is not valuable. There's no such thing as a mistake in God's eyes. They may not have all the faculties. They may not have the greatest smarts. They may have some physical or some mental disabilities. That doesn't mean they're less valuable. God created them perfect. Loved by Him. Died for them by His Son Jesus Christ, and of great, great value. And you need to let them know that they're valued and loved by God. Celebrate these children, but celebrate them in the relationship with the Lord. Each person's unique. They're an image bearer of God. Each person's created, formed, and woven together in the mother's womb by God's design. Therefore, there are no mistakes, no unvaluable people. We have worth and value because God has ordained it by imprinting His image on each human being and imputing His love to each person. We celebrate these kids today. But also we come today to commit to God's plan. I've talked with these parents ahead of time to help them understand what this day is about. This isn't a day for your grandparents to gloat. This isn't a day for you to get your kids up in front of the church and just celebrate and have fun. This day is a day of making a vow before God. And God takes His vows seriously. Scripture says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow in haste or without the intention of completing it. Today we're going to give them an opportunity to make vows before God. But church, you're going to have a response to that too. We have a vow to make. We have a vow to teach, to be an asset, to be a help. Deuteronomy 6:4 says this of parents, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk to them when they sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Parents, your responsibility, God's plan is that you would pass on the faith, the true faith, to the next generation. So what is God's plan? What does God expect of you, parents? First of all, He expects you to develop your personal relationship with Him. I've talked with each one of these couples, and they know the Lord. They serve the Lord. They have given their life to Jesus, and they want to honor Him with their lives. And that's the first step. in God's plan. You can't lead your family, dads, where you're not going. Mothers, you can't lead your children where you're not going. You are to develop a relationship with God so that your children can see that God is real, that God is important, and He is an authority over your life. You're to live your life in such a way that your children see and understand and embrace a relationship with Him. Passing on an intimate, vibrant relationship with God is your number one responsibility, and it doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by accident. This passage in Deuteronomy and all of Scripture tells us that we are to be intentional, first in our own relationship with God. We're to be passionate in our relationship with God. We're to be faithful in our relationship with God. And then we're to be intentional in passing that relationship on to our children. We're to be passionate about passing that relationship on to our children. We're to be faithful in passing that relationship on to our children. Parents, it's your responsibility. It's not the church's. The church is not the primary source of your child's salvation and your child's understanding of God. It is you. And God will hold you responsible for how you taught that child, how you led that child, how you nurtured that child, how you lived out your faith before God. That is what your responsibility is. Now, the truth is, the world and your pride are going to try and replace that priority with so many other things. They want you to make sure that your kids are the best ball players, the best dancers, the best cheerleaders, the best musicians they can be. And we get so caught up in making sure our children are the best at these things. And we need to raise our children up to develop their talents, to be the best they can be. These are not bad things. We're to help our children to develop their talents and abilities to the fullest, but only within the context of their relationship with a holy God. Never, never, never in place of it. So many have been pouring their lives into developing their children into the best ball players, dancers, musicians, and all these other things, and they neglect their relationship with the Lord. They neglect the priority of church. They neglect their priority of community with other believers. They neglect the true faith that is the most important thing, the only eternal thing that you can pass on to your children is a true faith in Jesus Christ. That is what God expects. The third thing that today is, it's a time for your church to support you. God designed us to live in community, never to live alone. That's why God created the family. He said it's not good for man to be alone. So He fashioned Eve, put them together. He said, be fruitful and multiply. That's why the family is the foundation of our society. We're to live our lives in community. That's why He established the church as a community. We're to live in fellowship with one another. He didn't save you to live out your faith in Him alone. I can think of only one thing that Hillary Clinton has ever said that really matters. It takes a village. And as far as the church is concerned, and as far as the Christian walk is concerned, it takes a village, it takes a community. And God established the church as a community to encourage one another, to help one another, to pick each other up when we fall down, to teach each other truth, to bounce ideas off of one another, to come to a fuller understanding of His Word and a relationship with Him. We are to live out our life in community. And anytime we pull ourselves away, and we pull our family away from the community of faith and start living for all the other things that the world says is important, and your pride begins to say is important when you start living through your children, we're stacking the deck against them ever coming to a faith in Jesus Christ. We stack the deck against them ever knowing that God is real, that God loves them, and that He wants the best for them. We stack the deck against them ever surrendering their life to the only one who is faithful and good and kind and able. Let's don't do that. Church, we need to develop a community in which these children and these parents will experience God's grace. A community in which they can learn and we can be an asset to them. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 talks about the church and what we're to be here for. But I want to focus on 11 through 16. It says, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, Jesus, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Church, we need one another. It says that God has gifted us and we're to come together and we're to encourage one another. We're to help each other grow and we're to contribute to the work of the kingdom together. Each one of us are necessary. If you're a member of a church, but you're an absentee member. If you're a member of the church, but you only go when it's convenient. If you're a member of the church and you just show up and that's all you do, you're not fulfilling your purpose. The reason you've been saved, that God has called you to His kingdom. Church, we need to develop a community of believers where God is glorified. Church, we're given the responsibility and the privilege of partnering with these parents in raising up the next generation of disciples of Jesus Christ. We're to invest in their spiritual development and point them to the love and salvation of God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're to provide an environment in which they can put their talents and their giftedness to work for the kingdom, to do the works of service. Church, it's our responsibility to partner with these parents and to develop a community that they can follow God and fall in love with His church and accomplish kingdom things because they're a part of it. See, this day is more than just celebrating babies. It's more than just grandparents being here and getting to take pictures of their baby on a special day, their grandson, their granddaughter. It's about making a vow to raise up the next generation of Christ followers. To be intentional in your parenting. To be intentional in your home. To be intentional in this body. To live faithfully so that they can know the Lord. Today we're going to end with voicing this vow. We're going to do something that most Baptists aren't very comfortable with. We're going to interact a little bit. I've got four questions that I'm going to ask these parents, and they're going to respond in the affirmative, "We do." But right after I ask them the first question and they respond, I'm going to ask you a question, church. And if you agree to do your part in raising up the next generation, if you make a vow before God to do these things that we've talked about, then I want you to respond loudly and joyfully, "We agree." All right? So, families, if you would step up here with me. And church, if you would stand with us too, please. Smile. It's painless. Parents, do you commit to continually develop your personal relationship with God in order to demonstrate to your child what an intimate, dynamic relationship with God looks like?
We do.
Church, do you commit to continually develop your personal relationship with God to provide a community where these children can see the difference God makes in the lives and relationships of people. All right. Parents, do you commit to raise this child in an environment that will encourage him or her to pursue a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ?
We do.
Church, do you commit to provide a community that points these children to a faith in Jesus Christ?
We do.
Parents, do you commit to teach this child biblical truths and by the power of the Holy Spirit to live by these truths in your home? Church, do you commit to assisting these parents in teaching these children biblical truths and by the power of the Holy Spirit to live by these truths in a community of believers?
We do.
Parents, do you commit to nurturing this child, helping him or her to discover and develop their God-given gifts and talents in the context of their relationship to God and not in place of it? Church, do you commit to providing a God-honoring community in which these children can discover and develop their God-given talents and abilities and use them for kingdom work? All right. It's a vow. God listens to what we say. I remind you all the time, when we sing songs, don't just sing them from rote memorization. God listens to what we say. And He's listened to your vow today, and we will be held responsible to fulfilling and be intentional in fulfilling this vow to raise these children, to assist these parents, to develop a community filled with the Holy Spirit and following after God so that these children can see the difference God makes, not only in the home, but in the world by changing lives. May God be glorified. And give us the grace we need to uphold this promise and this vow.
Amen.
Got one more thing. Pretty simple, pretty insignificant in the big scheme of things, but it hopefully will be a reminder of this day for you guys and help you stay focused, help you stay intentional in your efforts. We've got a certificate of dedication, where it's signed by the parents. It says, we, the parents' name, commit ourselves to the Christian nurturing of their child, entering into a commitment at Oak Grove Baptist Church as a part of the congregational worship on June the 11th, 2017. Each parent has signed it, and I've signed it on your behalf, that we've made a vow together to be intentional in raising up these children. So to Dalton and Samantha Fowler, on behalf of Dylan Fowler, we present you with a certificate and just a small Bible of the New Testament and also the Psalms. Wrong direction. To Chris and Paige Krausen, on behalf of Trace Krausen, we present you with this certificate and this gift of a Bible. To Levi Jamie Ellard, on behalf of Remington Ellard, we present you with a Bible and a certificate to remind you of this commitment. On behalf of Abigail Chapman, we provide you with a certificate and a Bible to remind you, and hopefully she'll grow up to be a lady that loves the Lord. Last but not least, Cody's hitch was changed so he couldn't be here, but on behalf of George Benton Johnson, we present you with his certificate. We left the space blank for Cody. He's going to sign it, hopefully, when he gets back to this vow. This certificate and a small Bible. I cannot stress enough that this is a vow before God. This is something we need to be very serious about, because, church, this is why we exist. To pass on the faith, not only to a lost and dying world, but to our children, that they can live in relationship with the Lord. Grandparents, don't get excited. We're going to give you an opportunity to come up in just a minute and take pictures. So we're going to stay right here so y'all can come do that. And I know some of you in the back are wondering, am I going to get a picture? Yeah, you are. All right? So we're going to pray, and I'm going to pray over these. Don't just listen to my... You be praying over these families. I'm going to lead us, but you pray for them. But you also pray for us as a church, that we'd be faithful in committing and fulfilling this vow we've made. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you today because you are God. You are able. You are present. Lord, you are the one who can transform hearts and lives. You're the only one that can change us. God, you're the only one that can save us, Lord, for we can't do it ourselves. We can't change ourselves. We can't save ourselves. So God, we come to you as parents and as brothers and sisters in this community of Christ. God, we come to you asking that you would keep us very mindful of this vow that we've made. That, Lord, you would enable us and empower us. You would provide everything that we need to do what we've promised to do, what you've commanded us to do, to raise up the next generation of Christ followers. God, these children are going to be raised up in a world that's so different from what we even know today. God, it's becoming more and more hostile to your truth. It's becoming more and more hostile to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's going to be very difficult, Lord, for these young people to believe your word, to live according to your word, to trust your word. So God, we have to be intentional. So Lord, we ask that you and your grace would overcome every mistake that these parents make, every failures that they make. God, I pray that they would run to you in repentance. And these children would see what it means to repent and to live different through the power of your Holy Spirit. That God, we as a church would be faithful to your word, and we would share your word in love, speaking the truth, living the truth. God, give us the grace and the power we need to accomplish this vow. Not for our sake, not even for these children's sake, but for your name's sake, for your glory, O God. For that's all that matters. God, we come to you not because you can, not only because you can, but because you want to. Help us do our part. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can come and celebrate with these families. We're dismissed. Grandparents, you can come take pictures and enjoy the time together.